Today's scripture text is from the first chapter of Luke.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
"Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Then the angel skipped to verse 46. Hang on. Here it is.
"And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation.
He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Hi, my name is Bethany Givens Blankespoor. I'm serving as term minister here at WCF, and it is my pleasure to get to introduce our guest preacher today, Betty Dickinson, and I have someone who wants to help me do the introduction. So, Betty, if you want to come up. Betty is a prophetic artist, writer, and speaker who invites audiences to connect with God through visual parables of the spiritual journey in her ministry, Awakening the Soul. Betty earned her MDiv through Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. She's worked with ministries like InterVarsity, World Vision, Infinitum, and she works to awaken the soul through beauty and wonder. Betty lives in Traverse City, Michigan with her two boys. Betty is a really good friend of mine. So I have had the pleasure of working with Betty and just being a friend of Betty for some years, and can just speak to how the gift that she has given so many of taking her journey with God, how God has been shaping her, what God has been doing to her, letting it come out into art, in a way that invites so many others to also see God in their story and in the world. So I'm going to pray for Betty. Do you want to? Betty, let me pray for you. Oh God, thank you so much for Betty. Spirit, would you fill her completely? Would you fill her words? Would you fill her with joy, with your presence? And would you prepare our hearts to receive your words through her today? In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Well, it's such an honor to be with you all. It has been many years that Bethany has told me about her church family here, and so I feel like I already know you, and so it's such a gift to actually physically be in your midst and to be with this beautiful family and get to experience your Christmas pageant. That was so fun. Thank you, kids. That was beautiful. So how many of you have a rule in your house that you only decorate after Thanksgiving? Like, anyone hold to that? Okay, so I used to have that rule and held to it pretty steadfast until I had children. And I want to tell you a story of a Christmas that blew up when I tried to hold to that rhythm. And maybe you'll understand why now. I have since changed my philosophy on that rhythm. So 2018, I had two kids in diapers, and my oldest, Isaiah, was just a year and a half. My youngest, Winston, was just under a year, and we were on our way back. My family live in Troy, Michigan, which is down further downstate, and we had Thanksgiving with them. We were driving on our way back from Thanksgiving to back to our house, and I had one of those panic moments when I opened my inbox on my phone, and I realized Shutterfly's sale was going to be expiring at midnight. And I had this tradition of making my whole family calendars for Christmas, and I had several hours to take all of the pictures from the last year and put them into a calendar and print them by midnight with two kids in diapers. Okay? Can you imagine this scenario? So we're driving home. I'm like, okay, we put the kids down for a nap. I get on the computer. I'm frantically uploading the pictures, trying to put them in the right spaces. And then, you know, the kids wake up from the nap, and we're like, well, we got to get a Christmas tree because now it's after Thanksgiving. So we now need to go get a Christmas tree. So we went to go get a Christmas tree. We brought the Christmas tree home, and we're like, well, we got to decorate the Christmas tree now because, you know, it's after Thanksgiving. So we put up all the decorations. Meanwhile, I'm chasing around my 1.5-year-old. Don't break that. Don't touch that. Don't do that. We're trying to put up the ornaments. And then we're also, well, let's just decorate the whole house while we're at it, right? Because we got to enjoy the season. So we're going around the whole house. We're decorating the whole house. I'm getting a little, like, you know, frantic. I've got my, you know, less than 1-year-old on my hip while I'm putting ornaments on the tree, trying not to break anything. You can imagine the scenario, right? Okay, so then we put the kids down finally for bed, and then I'm getting on the computer to finish this Shutterfly calendar by midnight because it has to be done by midnight. And of course, like, my son wakes up to nurse, so I am nursing him while on the computer trying to finish the Shutterfly calendar, and then it, like, finally get under the midnight deadline under the wire, and I was like, whew. Can any of you relate to this scenario? So there was this moment, though, where I paused for a second and I realized, I think I missed it somehow. I think in the midst of all of the frantic expectations and the striving to do more, to be more, to get it done, to make it happen, I missed it. I missed the moment to be fully present with my family. And this is what can happen to us, right, in the Christmas season. We are told to overbuy, to overeat, to overextend ourselves during this season. And any of you feeling the holiday push right now? Anybody with me? Yes. So needless to say, after this story, I since changed my philosophy around decorating, and I have since started decorating in mid-November because I want to do it slowly and mindfully and to be fully present with my children, whereas at that moment, I had not been. And I think in the midst of the temptation to sort of overextend ourselves, to push past our limitations, what if there was a different way? What if there was a different way that we could approach Advent, approach Christmas? And today, let's consider a woman who, faced with overwhelming expectations on her life and on her story and the reality of her human limitations, chose a different way. And so I want to pull up the painting I did of this moment of the Annunciation. This is Mary here, and I'm going to try to do the Christmas pageant justice a little bit in telling the story, but I'm not going to measure up, so you're just going to have to deal with it, okay? So this moment in the Advent narrative is, if you've been, you know, following the story, this is the moment that the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces that she's going to be pregnant with Jesus. And some of you who've read my book know that while I was doing the first few layers of this painting, I found out in that moment, in that same very day, that I was pregnant with my son Winston. And there was something about being pregnant while creating these paintings that invited me into the story in ways that were deeply embodied and were ways that were calling me to pay attention to my very physical limitations in the story. I was journeying alongside Mary and recognizing that God, in inviting her to bear the Messiah, actually gave her even more physical limitations. If you have been pregnant or have been around a pregnant person, you know that you don't have the same energy or lung capacity or ability to do the things that you used to be able to do before you were pregnant. And so Mary, in this story, invited me to take a different kind of posture, to imagine how God could work in the midst of her limitations. And what I love about this moment is that Gabriel arrives to Mary to announce that this incredible mystery is going to take place, that an infinite God will grow in a finite space, that the God beyond all eternity and time chooses to step into time. The God who is beyond our fathoming, beyond any kind of limit that we could ever possibly imagine, beyond our ability to physically imagine or comprehend who this God is or how big he is, chooses to dwell within our physical human limitations. And that is mind-blowing. But what Mary's response, her response is quite practical, right? She says, how will this be? She has two different I am statements in this passage, and the first one is this. She says, how will this be since I am a virgin? Now, obviously, she's naming her physical limitations here as a virgin. She hasn't done what's physically needed in order to become pregnant. And so she's naming her physical limitations. But as I've wrestled with this passage, I'm realizing that it's more than just her physical limitations in this moment, right? She has real societal limitations by being a virgin in her society, right? As an unmarried woman, she had no rights, no particular status in society. She had no ability to own property or wealth. She had a low status in society. And in many ways, when the world would have looked at Mary, of who she is as this young virgin woman with no rights, no ability to ascend into any kind of power or wealth in her society, the world would have looked at her and said, Mary, you're not enough. You're not enough to bear the Messiah. You're not old enough. You're not smart enough. You're not educated enough. You're not powerful enough. And I just wonder, when you look at the call of God on your own life, when God comes to you and gives you the invitation for him to dwell within you and your physical limitations, how are you asking, how will this be? How will this be? How will this be because I don't have enough time? How will this be because I don't have enough money? I don't have the right education. I haven't done what's physically required to get to this point. How will this be since I can't even imagine what you're asking me to do, God? How will this be? Where are you feeling your physical limitations in this world when God comes to you and says, I want to dwell with you and do something beyond what you could ever possibly imagine or comprehend. And I don't know about you, but especially this time of year, I feel my limits very severely. And as a typical Enneagram 3 achiever, when I encounter my limits, I do whatever I can to push past them. Oh, okay, so I don't have all of the time in the world, so I will work out while listening to a podcast. Or I will be on my treadmill desk on the computer while eating lunch in a meeting, right? So if I could just be everywhere in one place, if I could just do multiple things at once, if I don't know the answer, I will just Google search it to find out, right? Like, this is what we do. Anybody else push past their limits this time of year? Okay, thank you. Thank you that I am not the only one. But this is what we do, right? And when I do that, the reality is I'm trying to be like God, right? All present, all knowing, and, you know, surpassing time and space. Right? So, but what's fascinating and mind-blowing about the incarnation is that in all of my striving to ascend to be like God, in all of my pushing past my limits to be like God, he chooses to come down to be like me. He chooses to dwell within my physical limitations. And the deeper truth here about God in this story is that God chooses to dwell within our physical limitations. And what I love about this with Mary is that God had this huge plan for partnership with Mary, right? All the things that God was going to do through her womb to save the world, to heal, to restore, to redeem all things. And yet he says he's not asking her to be superwoman, right? To ascend in order to achieve this call. He isn't saying, okay, you need to be able to multitask well. Thank you, Jesus. He's not saying you need to be able to, you know, like walk on the treadmill desk and do all these things, and you don't need to have like a 10-step program in order to raise the Messiah. Like, you don't have to do all of these things. Thank you. All I'm asking is the very vessel in which I gave you in the first place. Your body, your mind, and your soul. And this is good news to Mary, because this is really all she has to give back to God, herself. And you know that God has the same invitation to us. God is saying, I want to dwell within you. I want to become flesh in you, in your story. And we even see this with Paul when he says, like, I am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. This is the story of Christ being formed and growing within us in a very similar way to what Mary is invited to do. And this whole story with Mary has made me wonder, what if our limits were not an obstacle to be overcome, but an invitation to embrace? When Mary says, how will this be? She's placing her limits before God and wondering how a God can do such wonderful things within her limitations. Rather than trying to rise above to try to prove herself to God, she simply asks how God could work within her limits. And I love how the angel responds here. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. How? How will this be? In the same way that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters in creation itself, just like a brooding mother over her chicks, this is how the Holy Spirit is going to hover over Mary, and how the Spirit still hovers over us today, inviting us into partnership, inviting us to dwell within us. In the same way that in the creation of Adam, God breathed into Adam to make him a living being, God breathes himself into flesh in Mary. God breathes eternal life into mortal flesh. This is the story he's been doing since the very beginning, and this is the story he's continuing today. So what does Mary need to do in order to host the Messiah? She shows us with her second I am statement. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. What does Mary need to do? Surrender. She just has to say, "God, I can't do this. Will you come? This body, this soul, this mind, it is yours in the first place. So I'm just going to give it back to you. Would you come and dwell within me? May your word become flesh in me. May your word be fulfilled." And so what does Mary model for us about our relationship with God? Is that God becomes flesh at the intersection of our limits and our surrender. What if you were to say to your limits, when you start feeling a little bit of stress in this season, when you start feeling like, "I'm not sure how I'm going to get this all done. I'm not sure how this is all going to happen. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this thing that God has called me to do. I'm not sure how I'm going to parent in the way that God's called me to parent. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to fulfill this vocational call that's on my life because of this and this and this and this." What if we were to take those very things where we feel not enough and bring them before God as a place for him to dwell? What if we looked at our current circumstances and said, "Come, God, be the center. Dwell within my limitations. You be in charge." And you know what? I will just tell you that when you become pregnant, if you've ever had this experience or been around those who've had this experience, this is exactly what happens, right? You are no longer the center of your story. This baby will take charge very quickly. And you learn that your body is not your own anymore, right? All of a sudden, your tastes start to change. Your energy starts to change. Your interests start to change. The things that you think about start to change. Your body starts producing 7 times more blood going to another being beyond you. This is what it means for Christ to be formed in us, right? We are no longer the center of gravity anymore. This baby shifts our center of gravity. Christ shifts our center of gravity, where he is the center. And I'll tell you, the times that I've seen the most breakthrough in my life, where God has come through and done something beyond what I could have ever imagined, were not because of the times that I thought I was so awesome or worked so hard or tried to overcome my limits, but were the times where I recognized, "I cannot do this. Come, be in charge. Take center stage in my life." Because what happens, right? We see this in 2 Corinthians 4:7 when it says we have this treasure in jars of clay to recognize that this all-surpassing power is not from us. It's from God, that he might get the glory. And you know, when we begin to center Jesus in the story, when he shifts our center of gravity where he's the center, Jesus begins to center those on the margins, right? This is what Jesus does. And as we follow him, as he dwells within us, this is what happens in our very bodies and ourselves. And I want to tell you that the same year that I had that whole Christmas explosion in 2018, the very next week, we had just done what our family, church family tradition is. We deliver Thanksgiving baskets. And we had delivered a Thanksgiving basket to a friend of mine named Rich and his son Milo. And I was really praying at that time because I felt my limits really severely as a mom of 2 kids in diapers. Like, "God, I don't have the emotional, mental, physical capacity to care for other beings beyond these 2 little ones. Like, how will this be? You've called me to care for those on the margins, but how?" And when I met Rich, and his son Milo, they told me that they every once in a while go to this place called Busy Bodies Bounce House, which is this giant warehouse of inflatables that kids just jump around on. We don't have it anymore in Traverse City, which I'm sad about because it was amazing. But it occurred to me, like, what if, rather than, you know, trying to overcome the limitations of my children to have a conversation with Rich, I could just, we'll just meet Rich at Busy Bodies. At our Busy Bodies, can go and get busy at Busy Bodies while we have a conversation. And so Rich and his son Milo, they met us at Busy Bodies Bounce House, and once you know it, like, the kids are getting all their energy out while I'm actually able to engage in an adult conversation with Rich, and we developed this friendship. And over the years, I got to know Rich and his story, and it was really beautiful to behold. But sadly, several years after meeting him, he developed cancer. And he was in the hospital in his last days. And I remember feeling, again, my limits of, like, God, I want to care for this man and show him your love, but how? Like, I don't, you know, I've got my kids with me again. Like, I don't know how to fully be present or fully engage or to show him your love. And Jesus was just like, just show up and bring him, like, you know, an ice cream social to the hospital. So we brought an ice cream social to Rich, and we brought him outside where he wasn't able to be outside very much. And I want to show you a picture of, this is our moment outside. This is Winston, my tree hugger. And so we just, like, had this time outside where Rich is, you know, he's in his hospital bed, but we just could be fully present and reveal the love that we have for this man. And I'll tell you what. That moment was more sacred and holy than some of the moments I've had in any other time in my life. And it wasn't because of me striving to do more or be more, but was because of the way that God came down to us to be present in that moment. And I'll never forget that moment infused with God's presence, where God came to dwell in that space. What if our limits are the very place that heaven touches earth? Where is God inviting you to be a vessel for his love in the world? To those on the margins, where is his kingdom wanting to come down now through you, through your limited physical flesh, an expression of his love? And I know from what Bethany has shared, this community is asking a lot of those really good questions. You're asking the questions, how do we be a good steward of our resources and our time and our energy and our community's capacity to love the people in this area? But you know how God's going to do it? He's going to do it by you being you. By you embracing your limitations and saying, God, we don't have a lot, but this is what we do have. He's going to come and he's going to dwell through your time and capacity, your DNA, your specific gifts, your specific way that he brings his expression uniquely through you as an individual and as a community. And I cannot wait to hear the stories of how God continues to do this as he already is in this place. And so we're going to take a moment. I know in the past few weeks in your response time in confession, you've been meditating on one of the paintings from the book. And so I would love to just lead you in this practice right now, for just to give us a chance to respond to God's invitation. So I want to pull this piece up on the screen. And I want you to just think about what thoughts or feelings come to mind as you look at this piece. How do you see it differently after what I just said? Is there something he wants you to see or to hear? What kind of prayer rises from within you as you meditate on this work? And I want you to think about Gabriel coming to Mary in this Annunciation moment and just ask God, what's his invitation for you right now? How is he wanting to dwell within your limits? What's his invitation? Now I want you to consider, where are you asking, how will this be? When you think about the dream that God has before you, where do you feel your limits most severely right now? Maybe it's your physical limitations, your time, your energy, your resources, your physical abilities. Maybe you feel limited in your skills or training. Maybe it's a limit of opportunity. Where do you feel your limits? And just ask God, where do you want to dwell within my limits? Where do you want me to be a vessel for your love? And I want to just close this moment in a breath prayer. So I want you to inhale the words, God, you chose limits. And exhale, so I can too. Inhale, God, you chose limits. Exhale, so I can too. Inhale, God, you chose limits. Exhale. So I can too.